there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, Stocking Stuffers. I'm Jeff Searcy.
I'm Jay Logsdon.
And today, Jay, we're talking about creepypastas.
Oh, hells yeah.
You like creepypastas?
Yeah, there was a period in time where I was a big creepypasta enthusiast. I kind of grew out of it, especially as, like, our no sleep got, like, the rules got worse and worse. Yes. And worse.
Oh, terrible place to write stories.
Like, that. I heard someone break it down one time where they're like, some of the best no sleep stories wouldn't make it on no sleep today because Yes. They've like changed the rules so much.
Mm-hmm. No, it's ridiculous. That's what a lot of people are starting to post on Creepcast. I don't know if you follow Creepcast.
I don't, but I'll have to check that out.
So you check it out. Hunter Hancock, aka Meat Canyon, aka Papa Meat, and Wendigoon, if you know who that is.
Yes.
They host that.
Okay.
It's a pretty fun show. Even my wife listens to it, and she's not big into horror.
Excellent.
But anyway, Jay, I know you like creepypastas. There are some great ones out there. Some of them have even been turned into books. Some of them, their writers have moved on to work in Hollywood or be professional writers. But then you got some that are not so good. And since this is Horror for the Holidays, Stocking Stuffers, we're going to be talking about some of those.
We're talking about the trash.
We don't deserve the good stuff on this show. We're scraping the bottom of the barrel. And I'm talking, this is one that I read when it was originally popular on the internet, Jay. I wonder if you also read it back in the day. We're talking Jeff the Killer.
Oh, I was thinking about Jeff the Killer the other day.
Here we go, Jay. Ready for this?
I am.
Excerpt from a local newspaper. Ominous unknown. Killer is still, space, another line, at large. Jeff Searcy is always at large. That's another story.
That's a different Jeff.
After weeks of unexplained murders, the ominous unknown killer is still on the rise. After little evidence has been found, a young boy states that he survived one of the killer's attacks and bravely tells his story. I had a dream, and I woke up in the middle of the night, says the boy. I saw that for some reason. The window was open.
For some reason.
For some reason. Even though I remember it being closed before I went to bed.
Oh, no.
Horrifying. I got up and shut it once more. Afterwards, I simply crawled under my covers and tried to get back to sleep. That's when I had a strange feeling, like someone was watching me. I looked up and nearly jumped out of my bed. There, in the little ray of light, illuminating from between my curtains, were a pair of two eyes. A pair of two eyes, yep. These weren't regular eyes.
I'm seeing double here. Four eyes.
These weren't regular eyes. They were dark, ominous eyes. Then I saw his mouth, a long, horrendous smile that made every hair on my body stand up. Damn, everyone. The figure stood there, watching me. Finally, after what seemed like forever, he said it, a simple phrase, but said it in a way only a madman could speak. He said, "Go to sleep." I let out a scream. That's what sent him at me. He pulled up a knife, aiming it at my heart. He jumped on top of my bed. I fought him. I kicked. I punched. I rolled around, trying to knock him off me. That's when my dad busted in. The man threw the knife. It went into my dad's shoulder. Damn, what an arm on this
guy. Impressive.
The man probably would have finished him off if one of the neighbors hadn't alerted the police in like the 30 seconds this is taken.
Hey, what's going on over there? I called the police.
They drove into the parking lot and ran towards
at
the
my
door.
House?
Yeah. Your parking lot at your house, Jay. The man turned and ran down the hallway. I heard a smash like glass breaking. As I came out of my room, I saw the window that was pointing towards the back of my house was broken. I looked out in it to see him vanish into the distance. Damn, he runs really fast, Jay. I could tell you one thing. I will never forget that face. Those cold, evil eyes and that psychotic smile. They will never leave my head. police are still on the lookout for this man. No, actually, still on the...
I just pulled up an image.
They're still on the look for this man, Jay. If you see anyone that fits the description in this story, please contact your local police department. Jeff and his family had just moved into a new neighborhood. His dad had gotten a promotion at work, and they thought it would be best to live in one of those fancy neighborhoods. Jeff and his brother, Liu, couldn't complain, though. A new, better house. But what was not to love? As they were getting unpacked, one of their neighbors came by. "Hello," she said. "I'm Barbara. I live across the street from you. Well, I just wanted to introduce myself and to introduce my son." She turns around and calls her son over. You know, I love these details.
all necessary.
"Bill, these are our new neighbors." Billy said hi and ran back to play in his yard. Well, thank God we had that meeting. "Well," said Jeff's mom, "I'm Margaret, and this is my husband, Peter, and my two sons, Jeff and Liu." They each introduced themselves, and then Barbara invited them to her son's birthday. Jeff and his brother were about to object when their mother said that they would love to. When Jeff and his family are done packing, Jeff went up to his mom. "Jeff, why would you not invite us to some dumb kid's party?" "Mom, if you haven't noticed, I'm not some dumb kid." I'm guessing you reversed this. "Jeff," said his mother, "we just moved here. We should show that we want to spend time with our neighbors. Now we're going to that party, and that's final." Jeff started to talk, but stopped himself, knowing he couldn't do anything. Whenever his mom said something, it was final. And he knew that by her always saying it was final after everything that she said. So what do you think so far, Jay?
Fantastic.
Amazing immersive storytelling going on here.
one of the longest lasting. The Jeff the Killer image,
yes,
is I think the only reason this has any
staying power whatsoever. It's He walked up to his room and plopped down on his bed. He sat there looking at his ceiling when suddenly he got a weird feeling. Not so much a pain, but a weird feeling. I hate it when I get a weird feeling.
Well, and if Jeff was like, I don't know, a teenager, probably had a boner.
Yeah, that's true. He dismissed it as just some random feeling.
Just some random boner.
When he heard his mother call him down to get his stuff, and he walked down to get it. The next day, Jeff walked downstairs to get breakfast and got ready for school. He sat there eating his breakfast. Once again, he got that feeling. This time it was stronger. It gave him a slight tugging pain. Oh man, I've been there.
He's been tugging a lot.
But once again, he dismissed it. And as he and Liu finished breakfast, his weird Chinese brother, I guess, they walked down to the bus stop. They sat there waiting for the bus, and then all of a sudden, some kid on a skateboard jumped over them. Wow, impressive. They both jumped back in surprise. Hey, what the hell? The kid landed and turned back to them. He kicked his skateboard up and caught it in his hands. Wow, cool guy. The kid seems to be about 12, 1 year younger than Jeff. I'm glad you could tell that by a glance. Cool. He wears
gives more credence to my what his weird feeling is.
Oh shit, Jay. He's wearing an Air Apostle t-shirt and ripped jeans. You know he's cool.
Oh, this guy's cool.
Well. Looks like we got some new meat.
That's what they say in, like, prison.
I was going to say, gone into the Shawshank.
This is supposed to be a nice neighborhood.
Yes, a nice suburb, and these are kids that are, like, 12 and 13.
New meat.
Suddenly, two other kids appeared. One was super skinny, and the other was huge. I've arrived on the scene.
Jay and Jeff showed up. They beat them all up because they're like, this fucking sucks.
This is fucking stupid. Well, since you're new here, I'd like to introduce ourselves.
All right.
Over there is Keith. Jeff and Liu looked over to the skinny kid. He had a dopey face that you would expect a sidekick to have.
That sounds like me.
And he's Troy. They looked over at the fat kid. Talk about a tub of lard. Actual lard. This kid looked like he hadn't exercised since he was crawling.
Solid burn.
And I, said the first kid, am Randy. Now,
nothing says cool skateboard kid like Randy.
This is Randy Marsh, the younger man.
No, this is Randy Marsh full grown with his mustache. He has two like kids as his fellow bullies, and they go and bully kid. It's me, Randy.
Now, for all the kids in this neighborhood, there's a small price for bus fare, if you catch my drift. Liu stood up, ready to punch the lights out of the kid's eyes, when one of the friends pulled a knife on him. Holy shit.
This is a nice neighborhood, by the way.
Nice neighborhood. This is escalating quickly. Tisk, tisk, tisk. I had hoped you would be more cooperative. This is a 12-year-old, by the way. Fresh meat. But it seems we have to do this the hard way. The kid walked
Boner alert.
The kid walked up to Liu and took his wallet out of his pocket. Jeff got that feeling again.
Boner alert.
Now, it was truly strong. A burning sensation. Damn.
Jeff, you should get that looked at.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that's right. He stood up, but Liu gestured him to sit down. Jeff ignored him and walked up to the kid. Listen here, you little punk. Give back my bro's wallet or else. Randy put the wallet in his pocket and pulled out his own knife. God, he's got a knife too? Oh, and what will you do? Just as he finished the sentence, Jeff popped the kid in the nose. As Randy reached for his face, Jeff grabbed the kid's wrist and broke it. Holy shit.
Impressive.
Jeff, was he like a bodybuilding 13-year-old?
He's just John Wick also.
Randy screamed and Jeff grabbed the knife from his hand. Troy and Keith rushed Jeff, but Jeff was too quick. I had never heard that before. He threw Randy to the ground. Keith lashed out at him, but Jeff ducked and stabbed him in the arm. It was a fight at a bus stop in a nice neighborhood.
conceivably, there are parents driving by. Like, there are adults driving. They're like, that's fine.
Yeah. Keith dropped his knife and fell to the ground screaming. Troy rushed him too, but Jeff didn't even need the knife. He punched Troy straight in the stomach and Troy went down. As he fell, he puked all over. Liu could do nothing but look in amazement at Jeff. Did I write this, Jay?
You might have. You wrote the first half of this, and then your brother wrote the other half.
Jeff, how'd you? Was all that he said. They saw the bus coming and knew that they'd be blamed for the whole thing because they beat them all up. But okay. So they started running as fast as they could. As they ran, they looked back and saw the bus driver rushing over to Randy and the others. Jeff and Liu made it to school. They didn't dare tell what happened. All they did was sit and listen. Liu just thought of his brother beating up a few kids. But Jeff knew it was more. It was something scary.
There's a scary feeling in his pants.
It's a scary, hard feeling with a burning sensation. As he got that feeling, he felt how powerful it was. The urge to just hurt someone. Oh, boy.
I think we got a serial killer on our hands.
He didn't like how it sounded, but he couldn't help feeling happy. He felt that strange feeling go away and stay away for the entire day of school. See, we told you. Even as he walked home due to the whole thing near the bus stop and how he probably wouldn't be taking the bus anymore, he felt happy. When he got home, his parents asked him how his day was, and he said in a somewhat ominous voice, "It was a wonderful day." Next morning, he heard a knock. Next morning? God, the cops must be slow in this town. He heard a knock at his front door. He walked down to find two police officers at the door, his mother looking back at him with an angry look. Jeff, these officers tell me that you attacked three kids, that it wasn't regular fighting, and they were stabbed. Stabbed, son! Jeff's gaze fell to the floor, showing his mother that it was true. Well, shit. Well, everything his mom says is final, Jay, so we better watch out. Mom, they were the ones who pulled the knives on me and Liu. Son, we found three kids, two stabbed, one having a bruise on his stomach, and we have witnesses.
A bruise.
Yeah. We have witnesses proving that you fled the scene. Now, what does that tell us? Jeff knew it was no use. He could say him and Liu had been attacked, but there was no proof. It was not them who attacked first. They couldn't say that they weren't fleeing, because truth be told, they were. So Jeff couldn't defend himself or Liu. Son, call your brother down. Jeff couldn't do it since it was him who beat up all the kids. Sir, it was me. I was the one who beat up the kids. Liu tried to hold me back, but he couldn't stop me. The cop looked at his partner, and they both nodded. Well, kid, looks like it's a year in juvie. Yeah, you know, the cops, they're just like, well, we're sentencing you to a year in juvie.
There's no discovery period.
This is Judge Dredd, apparently. The cops are the ones doing the sentencing.
I am the law.
No evidence. They're just like, well, it's his word against yours, so it's a year in juvie, kid. Oh, God. Wait, says Liu. They all looked up to see him holding a knife. The officers pulled their guns and locked them onto Liu, the 9-year-old. It was me. I beat up those little punks. I have the marks to prove it. He lifted up his sleeves to reveal cuts and bruises as if he was in a struggle. Son, just put the knife down, said the officer.
Oh God, Liu's going to get suicided by cop.
He is. Liu held up the knife and dropped it to the ground.
Oh.
He put his hands up and walked over. I was hoping he was going to fight.
Cops brutally shoot a 9-year-old.
He put his hands up and walked over to the cops. No, Liu, it was me. I did it. Jeff had tears running down his face. Huh, poor bro, trying to take the blame for what I did. Well, take me away, officer.
Bake him away, toys.
The police led Liu out to the patrol car. Tell him it was me. It was me. Tell him I was the one who beat up those kids.
I stole the TV.
Jeff's mother put her hands on his shoulders. Jeff, please, you don't have to lie. We know it's Liu. You can stop. Jeff watched helplessly as the cop car speeds off with Liu inside. A few minutes later, Jeff's dad pulled into the driveway. Seeing Jeff's face and knowing something was wrong. Son, what is it? But Jeff couldn't answer. His vocal cords were strained from crying. Is that how that works? Instead, Jeff's mother walked his father inside to break the bad news to him. As Jeff wept in the driveway. After an hour or so, Jeff walked, an hour? Walked back at the house.
There's like people, because it's a nice neighborhood, there's people walking by walking their dogs. They're like, what's wrong with that kid? Ah, just leave him.
I mean, they let the fight go on, so I guess. After an hour or so, Jeff walked back in the house, seeing that his parents were both shocked, sad, and disappointed. That was three things. He couldn't look at them. He couldn't see how they thought of Liu when it was his fault. He just went to sleep trying to get the whole thing off his mind. 2 days went by with no word from Liu down at juvie. No friends to hang out with. Nothing but sadness and guilt. That is until Saturday, when Jeff is woke up by his mother with a happy, sunshiny face. Jeff, it's the day! She opened up the curtains and let the light flood into his room.
Let the sunshine.
What? What's today? Asked Jeff as he stirs awake. Why, it's Billy's party! He was now fully awake. Mom, you're joking, right? You don't expect me to go to some kid's party after... the incident. Jeff, we both know what happened. I think this party could be the thing that brightens up these past days. Now get dressed. And we all know that's final. Jeff's mother walked out of the room and downstairs to get herself ready. He fought himself to get up, picked up a random shirt and a pair of jeans, and walked downstairs. He saw his mother and father all dressed up. His mother in a dress and his father in a suit.
For a birthday party.
Why are they wearing such fancy clothes to a kid's birthday party? Son, is that all you're going to wear? Said Jeff's mom. Better than wearing too much, he said. His mother pushed down the feeling to yell at him and hit it with a smile. Now, Jeff, we may be overdressed, but that is how you go if you want to make an impression, said his father.
To a children's birthday party.
Children's birthday party. Jeff grunted and went back up to his room.
Where they're for sure going to get dirty because it's a children's birthday party.
I don't have any fancy clothes. Oh, God, we really needed this part in the story, Jay. He yelled down the stairs. Just pick out something, called his mother. Wow, but we need this.
He just did. You told him he wasn't dressed nice enough.
He looked around in his closet for what he would call fancy. He found a pair of black dress pants he had for special occasions and an undershirt. He couldn't find a shirt to go with it, though. He looked around and found only striped and patterned shirts. None of these shirts go with my dress pants. Finally, he found a white hoodie and put it on. Oh, Jesus, thank God. I'm glad he's able
white
to get...
hoodie for his, white hoodie for his dress pants.
I'm glad he's able to get dressed, Jay. You're wearing that? They both said, oh, we're continuing with the clothes. His mother looked at her watch. Oh, well, no time to change. Let's just go. She said as she herded Jeff and his father out the door. They crossed the street over to Barbara and Billy's house. Barbara and Billy. Barbara's the mom and Billy's the son. You wouldn't say that's their house together. They knocked on the door, and it appeared that Barbara, just like his parents, was way overdressed. What the fuck is going on in this neighborhood?
There's a whole other story going on here that we're just not getting.
As they walked inside, all Jeff could see were adults, no kids. There are kids out in the yard, Jeff. How about you go meet some of them, said Barbara. Jeff walked outside to a yard full of kids. They were running around in weird cowboy costumes and shooting at each other with plastic guns.
Glad to know that he needed to get dressed up for this.
Yeah, God, he's in his hoodie and dress pants. He might as well be standing in a Toys R Us, where kids run around in cowboy outfits and shoot each other with plastic guns.
Of course, all the time.
Suddenly, a kid came up to him and handed him a toy gun and hat. Hey, wanna play? PWA.
How old are these kids?
I'm guessing like 5. I don't know. No, kid, I'm too old for this stuff.
Says 13-year-old Jeff.
The kid looked at him with a weird puppy dog face. Please, said the kid. Fine, said Jeff. He put on the hat and started to pretend to shoot at the kids. At first, he thought it was totally ridiculous, but then he started to actually have fun. It might not have been super cool, but it was the first time he had done something that took his mind off of Liu from 2 days ago. So he played with the kids for a while until he heard a noise. It was a weird rolling noise. Then it hit him. Randy, Troy, and Keith all jumped over the fence with their skateboards. Oh, God, it's a hit. Jeff dropped the fake gun and ripped off the hat. Randy looked at Jeff with a burning hatred. Hello, Jeff. Is it? You know who it is. We have some unfinished... This is a 12-year-old.
He's at a birthday party where all the parents are inside.
We have some unfinished business. Jeff saw his bruised nose. I think we're even. I beat the crap out of you, and you got my brother sent to JDC. Juvenile Detention Center, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Randy got an angry look in his eyes. Oh, no. I don't go for even. I go for winning. You may have kicked our asses that one day, but not today. And as he said that, Randy rushed at Jeff. They both fell to the ground. Randy punched Jeff in the nose, and Jeff grabbed him by the ears and headbutted him.
Jesus!
Jeff pushed Randy off him, and both kids rose to their feet. Kids were screaming, and parents were running out of the house. Troy and Keith both pulled guns out of their pockets! What the fuck? No one interrupts or guts will fly, they said, holding guns on these parents and 5-year-olds.
I feel like the cops should be more aware of Randy and Keith and the other one.
Apparently they upgraded from knives to guns, Jay. Gotta hold these parents at bay. No one interrupts or guts will fly, they said. Randy pulled a knife on Jeff and stabbed it into his shoulder. Jeff screamed and fell to his knees. Randy started kicking him in the face. After 3 kicks, Jeff grabs his foot and twists it, causing Randy to fall to the ground. Cool action move. Jeff stood up and walked towards the back door. Troy grabbed him. Need some help? He picked Jeff up by the back of the collar and threw him through the patio door.
Jesus!
Then Jeff tried to stand up. He was kicked down to the ground. Randy repeatedly starts kicking Jeff until he starts to cough up blood. Come on, Jeff, fight me! He picks Jeff up and throws him into the kitchen. He sees a bottle of vodka on the counter and smashes the glass over Jeff's head. Fight! He throws Jeff back into the living room. Come on, Jeff, look at me. Jeff glances up, his face riddled with blood. I was the one who got your brother sent to the JDC, and now you're just gonna sit here and let him rot in there for a whole year? You should be ashamed. How do they know the sentence,
man? Right?
Jeff starts to get up. Ah, finally, you stand and fight. Jeff is now on his feet, blood and vodka all over his face. Once again, he gets that strange feeling. The one he hasn't felt for a while. Finally, he's up, Randy said.
Oh, no.
As he runs at Jeff. And that's when it happens. Something inside Jeff snaps. His psyche is destroyed. All rational thinking is gone. All he can do is kill. He grabs Randy and pile drives him to the ground. He gets on top of him and punches him straight in the heart. The punch causes Randy's heart to stop. As Randy gasps for breath, Jeff hammers down on him. Punch after punch, blood gushing from Randy's body.
He knows the death punch.
Until he takes one final breath and dies. Everyone is looking at Jeff now. Looking at Jeff, these three teenagers just jumped over the fence and tried to murder him while holding the adults at gunpoint. The parents, the crying kids, even Troy and Keith, although they easily broke their gaze and point their guns at Jeff. Jeff sees the guns trained on him and runs for the stairs. So yeah, he's faster than the guns, Jay.
Of course he is.
As he runs, Troy and Keith let out fire on him, each shot missing. Jeff runs up the stairs. He hears Troy and Keith follow up behind. As they let out their final rounds of bullets, Jeff ducks into the bathroom. He grabs the towel rack and rips it off the wall. Troy and Keith race in to fight Jeff, knives ready. Troy swings his knife at Jeff, who backs away and bangs the towel rack into Troy's face. We are getting some John Wick shit here, Jay. Troy goes down hard, and all that's left is Keith. He's more agile than Troy, though, and ducks when Jeff swings the towel rack. He drops the knife and grabs Jeff by the neck, pushing him into the wall. A thing of bleach fell down on top of him from the top shelf. That burnt both of them, and they both started to scream. Jeff wiped his eyes.
Why was the bleach like unscrewed so they were able to do that?
I don't know. I don't even know how much it is because it's just a thing of bleach. You know, the bleach thing.
Yeah, the thing of bleach.
Jeff wiped his eyes as best he could. He pulled back the towel rack and swung it straight onto Keith's head. As he lay there bleeding to death, he let out an ominous smile. What's so funny? Asked Jeff. Keith pulled out a lighter and switched it on. What's funny is that you're covered in bleach and alcohol. Jeff's eyes widened as Keith threw the lighter at him. As soon as the flames made contact with him, the flames ignited the alcohol in the vodka. Or you just said the vodka.
Yep.
While the alcohol burned him, the bleach bleached his skin. Jeff let out a terrible screech as he caught on fire. He tried to roll out of the fire, but it was no use. The alcohol made him a walking inferno. He ran down the hall and fell down the stairs. Everybody started screaming as they saw him.
Somebody's watched Maniac Cop 3.
Yep. Now a man on fire, dropped to the ground nearly dead. The last thing Jeff saw was his mother and other parents trying to extinguish the flame. Then he passed out. When he woke, he had a cast wrapped around his face. He couldn't see anything. He had a cast on his shoulder and stitches all over his body. He tried to stand up, but he realized there was a tube in his arm. And when he tried to get up, it fell out and a nurse rushed in. I don't think you should be out of bed just yet, she said, as she put him back into his bed and reinserted the tube. Jeff sat there, no vision, no idea of what his surroundings were. Finally, after hours, he heard his mother. Honey, are you okay? She asked. How the fuck would he be okay? But anyway, Jeff couldn't answer, though, because his face was covered and he was unable to speak. Oh, honey, I have great news. After all the witnesses told the police that Randy confessed to trying to attack you, they decided to let Liu go. This made Jeff almost bolt up, stopping halfway, remembering the tube coming out of his arm. He'll be out by tomorrow, and then you two will be able to be together again. Jeff's mother hugs Jeff and says her goodbyes. Well, I guess I'll come back and see you tomorrow, son. The next couple of weeks were those where Jeff was visited by his family. Then came the day his bandages were be removed. I think we know what's under there, Jeff. His family were all there to see it. What would he look like? As the doctors unwrapped the bandages from Jeff's face, everyone was on the edge of their seats. They waited until the last bandage holding the cover over his face was almost removed. Oh, God. Let's hope for the best, said the doctor. Never a good sign. He quickly pulls the cloth, letting the rest fall from Jeff's face. Jeff's mother screams at the sight of his face. Leo and Jeff's dad stare awestruck at his face. What? What happened to my face?
Stare awestruck at Jeff's power.
He rushed out of bed and ran to the bathroom. He looked in the mirror and saw the cause of the distress. His face. It's horrible. His lips were burnt to a deep shade of red. His face was turned into pure white, and his hair singed from brown to black. He slowly put his hand to his face. It had a sort of leathery feel to it now. He looked back at his family, then back at the mirror. Jeff, said Liu, it's not that bad. I heard that before. Not that bad, said Jeff. It's perfect. His family were equally surprised. Oh, good. I'm glad they're all equally surprised. Jeff started.
Hey, guys, it's me, Liu here. I was a little more surprised than the others.
Jeff started laughing uncontrollably. His parents noticed that his left eye and hand were twitching. Jeff, are you okay? Okay. I've never felt more happy. Look at me. This face goes perfectly with me. He couldn't stop laughing. He stroked his face, feeling it, looking at it in the mirror. What caused this? Well, you may recall that when Jeff was fighting Randy, something in his mind, his sanity snapped. Oh, God, I'm glad you reminded me. What we read 5 minutes ago. Now that he's left as a crazy killing machine. That is, his parents didn't know that, though. Doctor, said Jeff's mom, is my son all right, you know, in the head? I'm sure we both had our parents ask that about us, too, Jay.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, yes, this behavior is typical for patients that have taken very large amounts of painkillers. If his behavior doesn't change in a few weeks, bring him back here and we'll give him a psychological test or something. Oh, thank you, doctor. Jeff's mother went over to Jeff. Jeff, sweetie, it's time to go.
That's a command.
That's true. That's final. Jeff took looks away from the mirror, his face still formed into a crazy smile. Okay, mommy. His mother took him by the shoulder and took him to get his clothes. Oh, God, more clothes.
We're going to have 8 minutes about discussing what Jeff put on.
This is what came in, said the lady at the desk. Jeff's mom looked down to see the black dress pants and white hoodie her son wore. Now they were clean of blood and stitched back together. Is that a service that the hospital provides?
Also, he was on fire.
And bleached and everything else. I'm pretty sure those clothes are trash. Yeah. Pretty sure he was stabbed a couple times. Jeff's mother led him to his room and made him put his clothes on, and then they left, not knowing that this was their final day of life.
Jeff, I think the parents are going to die.
I don't know, Jay. Later that night, Jeff's mother woke to the sound coming from the bathroom. It sounded as
Oh, no, not that sound.
It sounded as if someone was crying. She slowly walked over to see what it was. She looked into the bathroom and saw a horrendous sight. Jeff had taken a knife and carved a smile into his cheeks. Jeff, what are you doing? Jeff looked over to his mother. I couldn't keep smiling, Mommy. It hurt after a while, but now I can smile forever. Jeff's mother noticed his eyes were ringed in black. Oh, God, we got a Clara situation going on here. Jeff, your eyes! His eyes were seemingly never closing. I couldn't see my face. I got tired and my eyes started to close, so I burned out the eyelids so I could see myself in my new face. Jeff's mother slowly started to back away, seeing that her son was going insane. What's wrong, Mommy? Aren't I beautiful? Yes.
You're beautiful.
Yes, son. Yes, you are. Let me go get Daddy so he can see your face. She ran into the room and shook Jeff's dad from his sleep. Jeff's fucking dad. What a loser. Honey, get the gun, we. She stopped as she saw Jeff in the doorway holding a knife. Well, guns didn't work on him before.
Yep.
Mommy, you lied. That was the last thing they hear as Jeff rushes them with the knife, gutting both of them. A 13-year-old, by the way. His brother Liu woke up, startled by some noise. He didn't hear anything else, so he just shut his eyes and tried to go back to sleep. He was on the border of slumber when he got the strangest feeling that someone was watching him. He looked up. Before Jeff's hand covered his mouth, he slowly raised the knife, ready to plunge it into Liu. Liu thrashed here and there, trying to escape Jeff's grip. Shh, just go to sleep. Dun, dun, dun!
Who knows what happens next?
I know what happens next.
it's Jeff the Killer!
It's Jeff the Killer,
We have Jay the Killer masks at Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And my boss went and did all of their hair in different ways. So, like, one had braids, one had pigtails.
That's cool.
I forget what the other one was.
So, anyway, that was Jeff the Killer. I wanted to kind of start doing a series of these creepypastas. Obviously, we're going to be sorting through the trash because this is horror for the holidays.
Yeah.
But I think this is probably one of the more famous ones. Even if you haven't heard of a lot of creepypastas, you've probably heard of Jeff the Killer at least.
I would think so.
I mean, like Jay said, they have the mask at Spirit Halloween.
Yep.
But yeah, I wanted to just bring that up because the story is shockingly bad for something this famous.
No, it's ridiculous. Oh shit! But, that was great. It's been forever since I've read that story.
And we'd have a little fun today.
No, I like that idea. Yeah, we could keep doing some creepypastas.
But anyway, that was Jeff the Killer. As horrifying as you remember, Jay.
More so.
I know, right? And you couldn't really appreciate the horror as a kid, could you?
My brain could not comprehend the horror. My adolescent brain.
Yeah. You know, my highlight now as an adult is when the three skate punks, a 12-year-old skate punk, scale the fence and then hold the adults at gunpoint so that Jeff and Randy can have a good old-fashioned fight.
In a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jay, I want to point out, this is a great neighborhood, okay? We moved here because it's great and my dad got a promotion.
Oh, shit. Like, the cops should have been on top of this.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. And even the bus stop fight, they didn't show up till the next day. It's like, I know the cops are slow sometimes, but the next day for a stabbing fight?
Well, before we sign off, do you have a creepypasta you actually recommend?
Yes. If I had to recommend a creepypasta, Mother Horse Eyes. It's a long one, but yeah, it's a good one.
For me, I don't think I finished it. I don't know if it is finished. The Stairs in the Woods.
Yes.
That's one that I really like.
Baraska too. That's a good one.
I think I've read that.
Don't do Baraska part 5 though. Just don't do it.
But yeah, maybe we'll sign off with a couple different creepypastas to actually check out after we do our creepypastas.
You know what, Jay? If people like this, maybe we could do some good ones, too.
Yeah, we could probably do that.
I wanted to start off with a traditional horror for the holidays, rummaging around the garbage bin.
That is perfect. It fits so well. Like I said, I'd forgotten how great that one was. If you think Jeff the Killer is great or want to chime in with your favorite creepypasta, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at horror4holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays.
And you know what, Jay? I think the next one we should do is a little one I like to call Squidward Suicide. And maybe we could pair it with Dead Bart.
Oh, boy. YouTube.com, Horror for the Holidays.
Hit
thumbs
subscribe.
Up.
Yeah.
All that good shit.
The buttons. Do all the things. Follow us on the podcatchers. Leave us 5-star reviews, 0 stars if you could. Let us know you're a real sicko. Jay, what are we going to be watching next time?
So, for our next mainline episode, we'll be watching. It's Thanksgiving, and we'll be watching Christie.
Ooh.
Very excited. I like Christie. A movie that oddly is very similar to The Sacrifice Game.
Ooh. Jay, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I was actually a demon this whole time.
Oh, shit. Should have seen that coming. The fact that you, like, never leave, you've been here forever, you never leave, you know, you've got all those weird scars everywhere. I should have seen it coming, but somehow I didn't.
I'm always awake when you're awake. I never eat or anything like that.
So strange. Weird that I didn't see it coming. Well, Demon Jeff. We'll watch Christie and we'll talk more about it then.
Indeed, we will.
Bye.
Goodbye.